God bless you, dear brethren. Nice to be here with you tonight. We hope you have pen and paper prepared because we have a very interesting and very important and very urgent message. We are going to study from the book of Revelation. We will study chapter 12. It's a very interesting chapter with lots of mysterious things. A woman with a moon under her feet and a woman flying in the wilderness and the dragon being cast out of heaven.
And it's a great opportunity to learn so we can teach others. Our purpose in learning the book of Revelation is so we can teach others who are confused, to have questions about the end time, about the Bible. So dear brethren, make sure you open your Bibles, you take pen and paper, don't just listen to this class, but take notes. It's a great chance to put this message in your heart.
Amen. So we can give it to others. So if you want, you can open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 and we will go right into it. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
We are going to start with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. This was Revelation 12 from 1 through 5. Brother Joseph, can you please explain to us the scriptures? First of all, who is this woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet?
Tell me what you don't understand.
Just about everything.
It's because many people say different interpretation about who the woman is. So there's a confusion. Is the woman Eve? Is the woman Mary? Some people say it's Babylon, yes. So it's very difficult to understand who truly she is. Who does God mean to present here?
Okay, this woman has many symbolism, is not just one. Just like the dragon of Revelation 12 representing the devil is the same beast with 7 heads. Revelation 13, 11, 13, and 17, which represents the beast, the Antichrist. So they kind of interchange. The woman represents many symbolism. It's Eve from the garden, it's the church, it's the Bride of Christ, and it's also Mary.
How do you know it represents all these women?
Well, it's pretty clear, in fact, here. Because in the book of Genesis, God said in chapter 3, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, the devil, and the woman, which in that case represented Eve.
Yes,
and
okay.
She will crush, her seed will crush your head.
Okay.
So the seed of the woman was going to crush the head. So the seed we know is Jesus Christ. And here is no longer Eve. It becomes Mary because that's where Jesus came from. But it wasn't just Mary. All right. It was actually Jesus was not just born out of Mary. Jesus was born out from the church. So Jesus was the seed of the woman, Eve, of Mary, and the church, all right? So,
in other words, the church also will crush the head. Is that what
No, it's not the church. The church will. It's the seed of the woman that will crush the head. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ in the church. The church cannot crush the head of nothing. It's Christ that does everything.
Amen.
See, you see here in verse 5, which you read, that in verse 4 and 5, that it says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. So who's this? This is Jesus.
Clearly Christ, yes.
Okay. And then, you see, the dragon was in verse 4. It says, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour a child as soon as he was born. This is Mary.
But this actually happened when Mary was trying to give birth to Jesus. The dragon was trying to...
Yeah.
to get the baby?
Yeah, definitely. The dragon was positioned in front of Mary to devour the baby Jesus. This was fulfilled through Herod
when
he killed the children in Bethlehem.
Yes.
I understand.
Okay, so as you see, it jumps up and down. It takes the wisdom of God, it takes the Holy Spirit, it takes discernment.
And it takes also other parts of the Bible to put together to understand it.
If you don't have a grasp of the whole Bible up and down, you do not understand these prophecies.
I would like to ask you, what does it mean in verse 1? It says, the woman is clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Also, this verse applies to all the other situations like Eve and the church and Mary.
Well, in this case, here is the church, clearly. Right? She's not anymore one woman Eve, one woman Mary. Now is the church, you see? Because it's clothed with the sun. Mm-hmm. So the sun represents Jesus Christ. So it's like the Holy Spirit glorifying the woman, the church. It has on her head the 12 stars, which can be interpreted, I think it represents both the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. In fact, if you see in Revelation 21, the Jerusalem, Holy Jerusalem, New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, it has 12 gates, okay, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, it says right there. And it has 12 foundations, which are the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So therefore, this woman represents, these 12 stars represents both the 12 tribes of Israel, spiritual Israel, attention, mm-hmm. not carnal Israel.
Yes.
Which was disowned, but Israel and the apostles. So these are what the 12 stars are.
I understand. And this dragon says it's a great red dragon.
And it has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads.
Right.
Quite a dragon.
Yeah, as you see in other chapters like Revelation 13, you see the beast, it has, Revelation 13, 1, the beast has 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon the horns, 10 crowns.
That's exactly the same description.
No, here we have 7 crowns. Understand?
7 crowns.
Yeah, in Revelation 13, the ten crowns are on the 10 horns. In Revelation 12, there are 7 crowns, and not 10, and not on the 7 head. Why? Well, while the beast and the dragon are interchangeable between the beast, the Antichrist, and the dragon, the devil.
So, just a second. In the Bible, when it says the beast, it can be either the Antichrist or the devil himself.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly. It's interchangeable. It's a parable. It's only for the wise, it takes the wisdom. It's written in a way that the people without the Holy Spirit will not understand it.
And I guess you can understand who it is by the context, or what?
By the context, by the Holy Spirit, and by having a grasp on just about all the Bible prophecies all around.
It's amazing that you say to have a grasp on all the Bible. Is that what helped you to have all this insight into understanding the end time and the book of Revelation and the Bible? What was it? What's the secret that you are able to put all these puzzles together?
Yeah, for many years I had a hard time putting the book of Revelation together. Of course I learned from everybody was teaching me. And some were good, very good, some were bad, very bad. So the time came at which the Lord led me to 1 John 2, 20 and 27. He said, you have the anointing. You don't need anybody to teach you. Now come to my anointing.
But isn't that dangerous? Because you can so easily get off track. Isn't that dangerous to say, I don't need anybody to teach me?
It is very dangerous because that's how the false prophets, they say, I don't need a church, I don't need a pastor, I don't need anybody, just the Holy Spirit. I met a girl who said that she didn't even need the Bible, just the Holy Spirit. Of course, it's very dangerous. See, you always have to check on people. I'm always checking on me. Before you check on me, I already checked on myself.
And how did you check on yourself?
Whatever I say, okay, when an idea, a thought, a message positions itself on the waiting room of my brain, I go to the Bible and say, is this going to be biblical, what I'm going to say, or not? I always try, make an effort. Okay, now comes natural. I don't even think about it anymore. Now comes natural, normal. So when I have to say something, I just see if it's based on the Bible or just my personal revelations. I received many, many personal revelations, but I always ask the Lord to give me foundation in the Bible to make sure it was from the Bible, not from me.
So back to my question, what is the secret that you are able to put all these puzzles for the end time together?
I said many times, the secret is, I always ask the Lord to give me a love for Jesus, a love for the Father, a love for the Word, And I made the, in time of crisis in my life, I made decision to give my life to the Lord completely. And so every time I did that, the anointing grew and grew. And in the last few years, maybe the last 10 years or so, growingly exploded. The anointing exploded about the end time. And it just began to understand it very, very, in a very, very simple way. But for tens and tens of years before, I had a hard time to put the book of Revelation together, as well as Daniel and the other prophecies.
One thing I want to say about Brother Joseph, I've known him and his wife for many, many years, and I've worked together with him. I know through the years, as the Lord was revealing things to him, he was teaching them. I wonder if that's another secret, because I noticed that you don't keep it for yourself, but sometimes even if it's just two people on the street, you know, you give and you teach and you share.
And the Lord gives me more. Mm-hmm. See, I've always
that's very important to give.
I've always been a street missionary most of my life. And I used to teach these things to one person, two person, in a house, a group of believers, meeting in a place, read the Bible, 10, 20, 15, sometimes 5 or 6. And I would just teach exactly like I do now. In other words, a full heart, a full blast, full strength, as much as I could. It didn't matter if it was just one person or 5 or 10, or if it was a radio, or if it was a church with thousands of people. It didn't make any difference anymore.
Amen.
We just need to be faithful in the least.
Amen. God help us.
So two secrets. One, love for the Lord and perseverance to keep studying. And the second, give.
Share, but there is more. Like you have to make a decision to dedicate yourself to Jesus, full heart, full mind, full life, and to death. And then the anointing comes. Because nothing less than giving the Lord full heart, full life, or full time, will suffice. The Lord wants everything. The Lord gives us everything. He gave His life on Calvary. He wants everything. If we respond to Jesus full heart on the Calvary, on the cross, without our heart, lukewarm, Laodicea attitude, we will not receive anointing.
Amen.
In fact, oftentimes He sends a strong delusion, like He says in 2 Thessalonians 2. He allows us to be deceived.
Amen. Lord, help
us. Amen.
So back to...
So what is it you don't understand here?
Well, back to the seven heads and the dragon and the... In verse 3, you are explaining.
So the red dragon, see the red, every word here is significant. Why the red dragon is red and not yellow, pale or black?
Yes, why?
Like the three horsemen, like the horsemen in Revelation chapter 6. Why is it not pale? Why is it not?
Actually has a significance.
Every word in the Bible has a spiritual meaning, a parallel. Red symbolizes the color, the political color that by which the devil will run the world in the end time. If you look around the world today, except with a little capitalism in the United States and very few other countries, Europe is becoming more and more socialist. And the United States are becoming more and more socialist. Russia is socialist, China is socialist, communist, in fact. So basically, they're all going to socialism. You know very well that the color of communism and socialism is red. So red is the color of the politic by which the devil will take over the world. The new world order is going to be red.
The socialism is very subtle. Like, it's not a strong socialism. It seems very mild. You think actually it's going to lead into communism?
You see, actually, it's going to be worse than communism. It's going to be a demonic dictatorship by the Antichrist that will take over the world.
So it will be that kind of a dictatorship, communist, socialist dictatorship, the end time? World Empire?
See, if you see in Revelation 17, verse 3, it talks about Babylon sitting on a scarlet-colored beast.
Scarlet, yes.
It's darker than red. So the...
Is it the same beast?
Yeah, the beast. The dragon.
It's the same.
It's always the devil. See, in Revelation, if you read the verse 9, look, it tells you, 12:9.
12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
See, we're talking about the devil here.
So the dragon is the devil.
In the other, yes, also in the other chapters, we see the beast of seven heads is the same. Of course, that is, gets applied to the Antichrist, the beast. But the beast, as you see Revelation 13, verse 2 and 3 there, receive authority and power from the dragon. So, in other words, the beast is just one kingdom, the seventh with the 10 horns. All right, and but receive power by the dragon. So the beast is one head, the seventh. So the beast that you see in Revelation 13 with seven heads is still the dragon again. So they kind of interchange, understand?
Amen.
I still don't understand this red dragon. Okay, you say it's socialism and that's how the end time last world empire will be like a socialistic empire. But why does he have seven heads and then horns and seven crowns upon his heads? Can you please clearly explain?
Right. The beast with the seven heads, 10 horns and 10 crowns is symbolized that the seventh head is the seventh world empire that will take over the world.
You mean the one from Revelation 13?
13 and 11, 13, 17, it calls it the beast. In Revelation 12, it calls it the dragon. So the beast has seven heads and on the seventh head it has 10 horns with 10 crowns. Those 10 horns symbolize the 10 nations that will unite and give power to the beast.
And how do you know that?
We know that because it's Revelation 17, it talks about that. The 10 horns, it says Revelation 17, are 10 kings which will unite. You want to read it?
Yes.
Okay, go to Revelation 17.
We need to understand exactly. It's better to read it.
Fine. Revelation 17, verse 12. Okay.
17, 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
You understand? The 1 hour, it's a short time. The time that the beast will control the world, how long is 1 hour? Well, you can see in Revelation 13, 5, it translates 1 hour into 42 months. Mm-hmm. He had power over the world.
So it's symbolic months. Then?
It's symbolic of 42 mm-hmm. months.
So 10 horns are nations then, 10 kings which
yes,
give power.
Exactly.
13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
Okay, so
that's very clear.
They unite politically and give the power and strength to the beast.
The beast being?
What?
Who being the beast now? The Antichrist or the devil?
It's the beast, the Antichrist.
Okay, so 10 nations will give their power to the Antichrist.
Yes, the seventh head, the head number seven. How do we know it's number 7? Because right here, Revelation 17, it says in verse 9 and 10, here is the mind which has wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains, upon which the woman sits. Okay? And there are also seven kings. Now, many people interpret this as Rome, okay?
The seven heads, they say that it's Rome.
Yeah, it's not Rome because it says there are seven mountains, but it cannot be Rome because it says, it says there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is not yet come. So the heels of Rome is not that five fell down,
no,
one is standing, or one hasn't come yet.
It's true, there are so seven.
Understand? Yeah. So there was a time in history when Rome represented like this kind of power, but right now there is other powers. And the Christ is going to use communism, socialism, and new world order to control the world, okay? That's going to be the head number seven.
So now what does it mean? That the seven heads are seven kings? What
so
is it?
The dragon here has seven heads. This represents the seven empire through which the devil has ruled the world.
But there have been many empires in the world.
There have been many, many empires, but they've all been like the Chinese Empire, the Maya, the Incas, the Austro-Hungarian, the British
yes.
Empire. There have been hundreds of empires.
So not just seven?
Ottoman Empire, no, there have been hundreds.
So
this is talking about the world empire.
Ah, okay.
Okay, those are regional empires.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, but
so all the big ones?
Yeah, the big ones who control the whole known world. They didn't know China was there, otherwise they would have conquered, they could have gotten there. Understand?
So these empires are on the head of the devil. Why? Why yeah. does the devil have to have yeah. the seven heads?
These empires, of course, you just have to go to an encyclopedia and you can see this is past history. First was Egypt, second was Assyria, then Babylon, and then would be the Persia, Greece, five. You see, in the scripture it says here, verse 10, 17:10, it says, the seven kings, five are fallen at the time of this prophecy, 96 AD, time of Rome. Five had fallen. Rome was standing. That's the number six.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And the seventh, the last, hasn't come yet. When it comes, it will come for a short space. So the last world empire will only come for a short space. How short? Revelation 13, it says 42 months.
So, resume is yes. The red dragon from Revelation 12:3. You said is the devil.
Yes.
And he has seven heads through whom he ruled the world.
Yeah, he has ruled, rules, and will rule.
And rule through these seven world empires.
Because there are seven chronological ages.
Okay.
Okay. And cannot say rules, because five are fallen.
Okay, and like it said in Revelation 17, five are fallen, the five that you mentioned. One is, that was Rome at the time that the prophecy was written. And one is yet to come, there's the Antichrist empire that is yet to come.
Yes,
and you said it's for a short time, just 42 months.
Yeah, the other which hasn't come, verse 16, the ten horns, you see, these are 12 and 13, we read before. The ten horns. Okay, they have one mind, they give the power to the beast, they shall make war with the lamb, etc. So okay. They make war with the Christian. This is the great tribulation. So the
last
ten
world
horns,
empire is formed out of the ten horns, you explained.
Yes, it must be the head number seven, since the number six was Rome. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this dragon has these heads, which are chronological heads, mm-hmm. The chronological empires. So Rome was the number six, so five are fallen. At the time of the end time, which is today, as soon as the heads number seven takes place, also the six will be fallen. Mm-hmm. So it must be the number seven. So the ten horns on top of the head number seven will give power to the beast, to the Antichrist. Thus, the seventh empire will be formed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, now it's clear.
Now we'd like to know the seven horns. The seven heads. Do we know who they really are? Because we read in Revelation 17, they will give their power to the Antichrist.
Okay, you mean the ten horns?
Yes.
All right. The seven. You're getting confused with the seven heads.
Yes, I think I'm mixing them.
Okay, so the seven heads I told you already.
Yes.
The head number seven is going to be headed by the Antichrist. He's not here yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can see already the New World Order is getting together, right? All the international banking, the international Antichrist associations, all the international devils are getting together, right? So soon they're going to elect a leader. It's going to be a new Adolf Hitler, a new guy like that. And they're all going to give the power, like it says in Revelation 17, they give the power and everything.
But are this actually 10 countries that we know?
Yes, I think we know that.
You know which they are, actually?
Yeah.
Because the Bible mentions them, or how do you know?
Yeah, the Bible mentions in Daniel 7.
The Bible mentions which countries they are.
Yes, in Daniel 7, there are four beasts, okay? Which the prophet in 555 BCE, the Daniel, he saw four beasts coming from the Great Sea. That's the Mediterranean. And these four beasts were for four empires which surrounded the Mediterranean. And the first was, this is past history, most Bible scholars, just about all, study by a prophet, they all agree. There is no controversy about this.
Mm-hmm.
The scholars agree these four beasts are respectively number one, Babylon, the lion, number two, the bear, Medo-Persia with three ribs in its mouth, representing the three preceding empire, world empire before Medo-Persia, Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. And then the next beast was a leopard with four heads, that the fastest animal that would represent the empire that conquered the world, the fastest, Alexander the Great, the four heads with the four generals. It even had wings because the Greeks conquered the world in 10 years. To give you a comparison, it's been 1500 years and nobody has been able to conquer the world like Rome, take the place of Rome,
mm-hmm.
1500 years. Alexander did it in 10 years. That's the third beast. And the fourth beast, we are in Daniel 7. It's a horrible beast, indescribable, so horrible. It was representing the kingdom, the empire of Rome. Iron teeth, the same like the iron legs of the representation of Rome in the statue of Daniel chapter 2. It had iron teeth. And that's it. And this beast in Daniel 7, verse 7, had 10 horns. Yeah, but this everybody agrees. This is not controversial. I don't need to prove this. This any Bible scholar will tell you. This four beasts represents, because it's past history.
Okay.
Okay. Because in Daniel 7, Daniel calls them empires, kingdoms. So there is no doubt that these animals represent kingdoms. Now, the fourth beast had 10 horns on its head. And in Daniel 7, 21 to 25, it says that 10 horns are 10 kings.
It's exactly like what it says in Revelation.
Exactly. And then he said there is an 11th horn that comes up, which is stronger than the 10. It's the same like in Revelation 17, 7 heads, 7 empire, and 10 horns, the 10 nations, 10 kings that give power to the beast, the 11th horn of Daniel 7. Now, how
so,
do we
sorry,
know?
Sorry.
10 kings are the same from Daniel and Revelation, the same
it's
thing?
It's a parallel.
And you are saying the 11th horn is like the beast from Revelation?
Yes, it's the Antichrist.
It's the Antichrist.
It's the beast of Revelation 11, 13, 17.
Yes, but Daniel said this 11th horn is stronger than the 10?
Stronger than the 10. He will even destroy 3 of the 10 horns and he'll take over and he will still have 10 countries supporting him.
So how do we know who these 10 nations are?
Well, it's not difficult because since the horns are on the head of the 4th empire representing Rome,
yes,
that gives us the geographical position where the horns or the kings are going to arise.
The Roman Empire?
South Europe. Central Europe, South Europe.
You mean what was Roman, the Roman Empire?
What was the Roman Empire? But Rome is still here.
Okay, Roman, but we don't know for
Roman
sure.
The Roman Empire is still here.
But we still don't know for sure the names of the countries. We just know the location, right?
Okay, just a second. The Roman Empire is still here. Rome is still ruling the world, if not directly. Okay, because Italy is the most untogether country in the world, not because I'm Italian origin, I can't guarantee that. So, through the country which Rome conquered, Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, Greece, etc., alright, those countries are controlling the world either directly or through countries which they colonized, like, for example, United States. Mm-hmm. Japan, for example, one of the main countries in the world, it has a European Western technology. They're copying everything. Okay, they are doing that. So do you understand what's going on? So basically, the 10 horns, the 10 kings on the head of the 4th beast are coming from the geographical position of Rome, which is Central South Europe. So now we come to the name of these countries.
You actually know the names?
Yes, but it's not. Okay.
It's very interesting to find out.
So basically...
So you know the names of the countries that will form the Antichrist Empire?
Yes. Because, you see, in 1995, the Europe formed a second Europe. See, this is something they don't advertise. So there are two Europes.
What does that mean, Europe formed the second Europe?
Well, there is a European Union, but which is now there are 28 countries.
The European Community.
Yeah, because Croatia joins, so that's 28. So inside these 28, there are 10 countries they're retaining all the powers. They are the only ones that they could vote with full power. 10 countries. It was called...
Within the European Community.
It was called the WEU, Western European Union. Was called.
Okay.
And since 1995, when Greece joined in, they were sealed in 10 countries. And these countries, respectively, they were exactly the center of the Roman Empire. And you can go on Google, you can go wherever you want and check. You type WEU, and you see that until 2011, these countries were together. 2011, they took a break.
What does that mean? They took
a break? They kind of discontinued the association. But now they go back together again in 2013.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they became 11 with Poland. But the prophecy says it will be 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But so, is it known, this Western European Union, is it known in the world or it's something?
Everybody knows. You go on the internet, it just appears.
Ah, yeah, really? You find it around.
Besides, it don't make a big deal because it's a fulfilled prophecy. And if you check on every... whatever encyclopedia you're checking, it gives you the name of these 10 countries.
Now, just for curiosity, why did they unite? For what purpose?
Because they were the richest countries, because they didn't want to share the power with a small little country like Bulgaria, like, little country like the small countries like Hungary, etc. They wanted to keep the power among them. And they are the only one with full vote power.
And you know the names of the actual
well,
countries?
I just found them. I investigated and I found the names of these 10 countries called Western European Unions, which they were called like that. I don't know what kind of name they're going to pick up now. And these countries, if you go like clockwise, let's say you start from Portugal, You can count them. And it's Portugal, Spain. This is not something, it's not my revelation. You can go on internet and you can find exactly they are stated there. So it's Portugal, 1, 2, Spain. Let's go clockwise. France, Great Britain, that's 4. Then go around, that's the Netherlands. And then you go to Luxembourg, that's 6. And then you go to Belgium, that's 7. And then you go to Germany, that's 8. And then down to the east, Greece. Then come back west, Rome, Italy. 10. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they discontinued 2011. Then they started again. They opened it again, the association, 2013, with the call with a different name. This time they were 11 with Poland.
Mm-hmm. Very okay. Interesting.
But you see, Daniel 7 talks about an 11 horn coming and taking, I don't think it's Poland. I think Poland is just going to get out. I think the 11 horn is going to be Russia, the Magog, or Ezekiel 38, led by Gog, which is the name of the Antichrist.
Why do you say Magog in Russia? What does that have to do? You say because it will be Russia because it says Magog.
Because there is a prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It says Gog or Magog. Gog of Magog, coming from Magog, will invade Israel.
Okay. And what does that have to do with Russia?
Because Magog is Russia. I researched, and in most, the oldest Bible dictionary, the best Bible dictionary, tells you that Magog is Russia. It's the old name of Russia.
Ah, okay.
Okay. It was the area north of Caspian Sea, which was called Magog. Today is south of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Antichrist is coming from, or will have a lot to do with that.
So, we read up to verse 5, and you pretty much explained everything. There's just one detail that I have unclear. In verse 4, the beginning, it says that this dragon, from verse 3, with his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. What does that mean? He actually took down the stars from the sky, or what? What does it mean exactly?
Well, you see that the stars, it's also in Daniel... In Daniel 7, it talks about that we cast down some stars onto
physical stars from the sky, or what is it?
No, well, no. This is these are actually the angel. You see, because the stars represent angel. You see, in Daniel 12, verse 3, they that bring many to righteousness, they that do evangelize, they shall shine as stars. So these are actually the fallen angels. Basically, who are now called demons, which will, the devil deceived and is dragging them to hell with him, and he will cast them onto the earth. That is, there's going to be a war in heaven, we will study soon, and the devil and his angels are going to be cast out. Okay, that's what it means. Okay.
But you mean they were not cast out already before, when they rebelled in the beginnings of the world?
They
will be.
Not really, no. The most rebellious, unruly, disobedient demons, God keeps them under lock and key. You can see that in the book of Jude, verse 6. Okay, there are demons who are waiting. They're just in prison.
Yes, I remember
but
that scripture.
The demons who bow their knees to God, God allows them to be used now to test and to purge the world.
But my question is this. He still drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This didn't happen already in the past when they became demons?
No, they were not cast out onto the earth. Because now the devil is in heaven, understand?
How can he be in heaven?
If you read the next scripture, it's right there.
Shall we read? Let's keep reading.
Let's go.
Verse 6 and 7.
Okay. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What does this mean? The same woman from before, which represents Eve and the church and Mary?
Look, do you mind I answer this a little bit later up?
So verse 6, you answer later.
Yeah, I will link it to verse 14.
All right.
We'll keep it in mind.
It's a parallel verse 14, I prefer to...
Okay, then I go to verse 7.
Why don't you jump to verse...
7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. This is a very interesting part. Now, this is the word you were discussing before, that the devil will be cast out from heaven. And yes, he seems to be in heaven. When will this happen?
The devil is in heaven.
He's in heaven next to God?
Well, of course he's not.
I hope not.
Of course. Sometimes God gives a special permission to go in his presence, because God has a plan, okay? The plan is to purge the world, to sift the wheat from the tare, to see who gets magnetized toward Jesus or toward the devil. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus is the catalyst, and he separates the sheep from the goats, etc. So right now, the Lord is using the devil to just separate the people supposed to go to hell, who choose to go to hell, from the people who choose Christ and salvation, all right? So that's what's happening now. So
where is he in heaven? Like, is he like the Rasa next to God, or where?
Want the address.
Well, it's just not normal thinking to imagine heaven and a devil inside heaven. I mean, he's supposed to be out of there.
Listen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about third heaven. I know that Muhammad and the Muslim, Muhammad supposedly went up to the seventh heaven. There are no seven.
But you
heaven.
Don't believe in the Quran, brother, no?
No, I don't believe in that. Okay. I don't believe the Quran went, it came up 600 years after the coming of Jesus, so, you know. So basically, there are only three heavens, all right? Like Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 12 about three heavens. The first heaven is the one you see, the sky, the stars, planes flying around, the physical heaven. The second heaven is where the devil is. It's a spiritual heaven all around the planet. That's where the demons are. That's why you see your UFOs, aliens flying around. Flying saucers. These are just demons trying to deceive the world, saying they come from another galaxy to bring peace and blah, blah. In reality, they're demons who are going to arrive on the earth as coming from other galaxies, as aliens, as UFOs, to deceive the world. And the world who doesn't believe in Jesus, God, and the Bible, they don't even believe the devil. They're going to accept it as a superior superior civilization from other galaxies to see what they can get out of them, you know. In reality, they're just demons who pretend to be aliens, and they will just present themselves to this world simply because they're going to be kicked out of heaven, the second heaven. And then there is a third heaven, which is everything else. So the devil is basically a little ghetto.
What do you mean it's everything else?
Well, a little ghetto.
Like, I want to understand clearly.
a little limited area around our planet, maybe some other planets, I don't know, but just around here, more or less. This is where the devils are, okay? But it's like the rest of the universe is infinite. My goodness. God created everything you see, the galaxies. There are millions and billions of galaxies. God created that in 6 days.
Yes.
All right, but before God created that, there was already a heaven. There was already a kingdom of God, which is infinite. God knows how big that is. Okay, so the devil doesn't have any control in God's kingdom or God's heavens.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear.
Just a little bit around this planet until he's cast in hell.
Amen.
And so here, when the time comes that God calls the devil, says, time out, it's time to go to hell. Okay, so he will cast him out from heaven, his little rinky-dinky heaven, that is. He comes on the earth, he runs around, messing around for 3.5 years, and that causes the great tribulations, which will last 3.5 years. You can see that in Revelation 13, also here.
Sorry, can you repeat again? When will it happen, this war in heaven, that the devil will be cast out?
It happens... Well, chronologically, you want to know, well, the Antichrist will make
not
a...
Not because you said afterwards is a great tribulation, so I'm trying to understand when it will happen.
Okay. So, the Antichrist is going to rise. It's already around, the Antichrist, okay? Only will, it's a politician that they will make a covenant, a treaty for 7 years between the ten horns and Israel. All right? The way does it say that? In Daniel 9:27, it said the Antichrist will make a treaty for 7 years with Israel and many others. In the middle of 7 years, he will break the covenant. He will stop the daily sacrifice. And in place of that, he will replace that with an abomination of desolation, as described in Daniel 11:31. And that will cause great tribulation. Daniel 11:32-35. Matthew 24:15-22. And so on. That will cause great tribulations. Now, the covenant is broken in the middle of 7 years. That is how many years?
3.5.
Right. So, for the remainder, for the second part of the 7 years, it will be great tribulation. Do you understand? They make a covenant for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
See, these people are confused. Because people are preaching there are 7 years of tribulation. Wrong. Even some Bibles say that, but those Bibles are wrong, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Their explanation that they give. Okay, there's no tribulation 7 years. The Christ make a covenant for 7 years, done in 927. He breaks in the middle, stops the sacrifice. So the first 3.5 years they're allowed to sacrifice, they have permission. After 3.5 years, they're not allowed anymore. The Antichrist stops the sacrifice and replaces it with abomination. That leaves another 3.5 years, which are the same space of tribulation, okay, which is given in Revelation 13:5, in Revelation 12:6, and 14. The three places give a space of 42 months, 3.5 years, as well as Revelation 11:2-3. It says again, 42 months and 1,260 days. So it repeats the basic Revelation 11:12-13. It repeats it three times. Half a week, half of the 7 years. You understand?
All right, I understand. Now, I would like to ask you if this war that is in heaven is something that is physical, Michael fighting with the angels, or it's a symbolism, what kind of a war is this?
It's a war. You see, in Daniel chapter 9 and 10, he talks over there that the angel of Persia, the demon, the principality is over Persia, over Greece. He's fighting against the angel of God who goes to Daniel to bring the message from God.
Is it the same war like here?
Well, probably they don't use... they didn't use our machine guns. It's a spiritual war, but probably much more terrible than this.
And now when the devils are falling to the earth, they are starting now to do evil? Because I thought the demons are always around, and they are, even in our days, they are still hurting people and causing evil.
The way I picture it is that when the devil is cast onto the earth,
which you said triggers the great tribulation you mentioned.
Exactly. Okay. The devil personally will possess this leader who makes a 7 year covenant. The devil possess him, and from then on he becomes the Antichrist. That's why he wants to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians 2, he wants to be worshipped as God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and the demons who are cast down into the earth, they will possess the people of the world. And that's when they receive the mark of the beast, which I believe is the microchip, whatever it is. That's when the mark of the beast gets it. Really enforced on people, because people become demon-possessed, they go to want to desire the mark of the beast, because they're demon-possessed.
Now, the devil is called here the accuser of the brethren. And then it impresses me, it says, this same brethren, which were accused by him, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
That's the way to overcome the devil. Only if you are willing to die for Jesus Christ, you overcome the devil. See, that's a price to pay to the devil here. He is the God of this world, thanks to Adam and Eve, their sins, and thanks to my sins and your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Who keeps the devil on the throne is our sins. He doesn't get strength from God. He gets it from our sins, from our disobedience. Our sins gives him the legal authority to give us sickness, to give divorces, to give car accidents, to make wars, to bring all the evil in the world.
And verse 12, it says, the devil is come down unto you, in other words, the great tribulation, the way you've explained, right? And it says, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. What does he mean, this? He has great wrath, and he knows that he has but a short time onto the earth. What does this mean exactly?
Well,
you said it's the Great Tribulation, first of all. Yes. Explained.
Yes, it is.
And this great wrath and...
Well, the great wrath, first of all, like it says in 1 Thessalonians, I believe, verse 9, it says, God has not appointed us unto wrath.
Wait, but those predictions and things about the tribulation
and
being...
the rapture,
yeah,
et cetera.
Then it should be correct.
See,
or what?
Many Christians, they believe that God has not appointed us unto wrath, therefore we are supposed to be raptured before the great tribulation, but the only problem is that there is no scripture to base this interpretation, which is wrong. Of course, we have to go through tribulation, like it shows in Matthew 24:21 and 29. Of course, we have to go through the tribulation. So actually, what it means, that 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed unto the wrath of God. Okay, but the thing
God
is...
God didn't appoint us unto his wrath.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Makes sense. It's correct, but it's not correct to say that the tribulation is the wrath of God, and that's why we're not supposed to go through the tribulation. Oh, we will go through the tribulation, because the tribulation is not the wrath of God, it's the wrath of the devil, as we read in the scripture. The devil has come down with great wrath.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes. And he has a short time?
He has a short time, because he knows he has 42 months, and then he gets thrown in hell.
Okay.
Well, the Antichrist does, the devil after the millennium. The devil gets imprisoned for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 1-3. The Antichrist and the false prophets get thrown straight to the lake of fire. God doesn't need them anymore, Revelation 20, verse 20. Mm-hmm. Revelation 19:20.
How about we stop here for today, the study of Revelation chapter 12, and we continue next time?
That was inspiring.
God bless you all.